Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, brought to you by Campbell's new chunky spicy soup. It's time to get fired up, and I never thought I would say this, but actually a really, really fun game. Unfortunately, the Raptors lose, and of course you understand that that's the position that they're in. They've lost eight straight now, but losing 123-103 against the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are atop the West, obviously led by MVP candidate Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We'll get to that in a second, but I think the reason why you're not so, you know, upset about this one is because it didn't necessarily feel like what the Kings game was, which, let's be honest, it's a bit of a waste of time. I mean, you saw the Raptors let go of the rope. You saw them make bad plays. Of course, they're undermanned, and you understand the situation that they're in, but, you know, bad basketball is bad basketball. It doesn't really matter who it is. We're still talking about pros here. Raptors did a much better job executing tonight, and that's why they were able to lead after the first quarter, which, you know, if we're looking for silver linings, okay, there's one. They were able to keep it competitive for the bulk of the game. Of course, the fourth quarter, you know, the Raptors were down, and you never felt like they had enough offense. But at the same time, the Raptors actually shot a really good percentage. They shot 53% from the field, and that actually was a better percentage than what OKC shot. Now, of course, the Raptors lost by 20, and the big gap there was the fact that the Raptors committed 27 turnovers, which is by far a season high. And, you know, Darko has talked about this. He is okay to some extent with some increased turnovers because the Raptors are really putting an emphasis to move the ball and really pass. And you saw the majority of the Raptors' offense. And the main reason why they were able to shoot 53% wasn't the fact that they had some crazy efficient scoring or red-hot shooting. It was the fact that the Raptors really were able to run a lot of their post actions really well. Get it to Kelly in the post, or honestly, even better yet, for the second unit, get it to Jontay Porter in the post and cut and split off of each other. And the Raptors did an amazing job of feeding each other on those. Of course, there's going to be turnovers that come with that. Ultimately, though, this was just a little bit too far in that other direction. 27 turnovers. That's why the Raptors lost. That, in addition to the fact that OKC has just an incredible talent advantage in this game. I mean, they didn't even have to overextend their players. Chet Holmgren sitting for a large part of the fourth quarter, finishing the game with 27 minutes. Jalen Williams, 27 minutes. If those two guys wanted to play more, they would have easily scored more. 8 of 13 for Chet Holmgren, 9 of 13 for Jalen Williams. So super efficient nights for them. Shai Gilgeous has been, you know, on a 30-point, you know, run, and he just gets 30 points in his sleep. Raptors actually did a decent job guarding against him. I think you got to get the majority of the credit there to Ochai Agbaji, who, look, I mean, a lot of his utility in the league is based on his defense. I mean, I like the fact that he gave you 6 assists tonight. That's probably got to be a career high for him. 12 points, 7 rebounds, 3 steals. So he did a work across the board, but I thought he actually did a really good job of just staying in front of Shai, and it's the type of matchup where nobody really does well against Shai, but at the same time, Ochai with his quick feet, with enough strength, because Shai also likes to bump you as well. Ochai was able to eat those bumps and still contest. And I just thought that Shai was forced into a lot more step backs than, I mean, obviously it's a classic move for him, but still, all things considered, you more than live with 23 points from Shai on 9 of 20 shooting with only 6 free throw attempts. And also he gets 6 turnovers. Like, that's actually a really inefficient night for him. So credit to Ochai for playing defense. But more importantly, for the Raptors, it was really just seeing them work together as a group. And yes, again, they lost this game, and nobody's necessarily happy with the fact that you're just supposed to accept 20-point blowouts. But at the same time, I think the Raptors actually executed quite well. And as long as you see them execute and see them try to improve and get better on a specific targeted strategy and actually come out and, to some extent, play really well with that strategy minus the turnovers, then at least you can accept that, okay, you know what? They gave her their best effort tonight, and it just wasn't enough. And, of course, you got to clean up on certain areas. But you also saw what you would like, you know, what the parts of this team that you would like. And, of course, right now you're having to really squint for it. But it's the ball movement. It's the fact that the Raptors got so many points off of cuts. Honestly, I think OKC probably could have done a better job defending against them in general. But, you know, the Raptors, you know, just consistently creating these chances for, you know, basically everyone to slash the basket. You know, Javon Freeman-Liberty got quite a few opportunities at the rim, and I think he would probably like to have a couple of them back because he really only took really wide-open shots tonight, and he just smoked a couple of finishes. But overall, he got easy offense. Ochai got easy offense. Bruce Brown, that's his whole thing, is he cuts well. He got easy offense. Grady, who, you know, finishes the game with 21 points and 5 rebounds, Grady throwing down highlight dunks. Grady was, you know, doing an amazing job of, you know, leading the Raptors in particular in the first quarter, where I think he had 13. You know, him, you know, popping free for threes and being confident with those. But, you know, again, also just his ability to play off of those cuts. And it's great. In fact, I think Grady also did a great job of screening because of the fact that he had established himself as a shooting threat. When he was setting those back picks, you know, the defense was reluctant to get off of him or to switch off of him because they wanted to stay within contact because they don't want to let the shooter get open, get space. What that does is create a lot of space in behind him for whoever he's screening for to get free. And I thought he got a couple of screen assists as well for him. So, again, just in general, the Raptors played a really good team game. And, you know, I think in a game like this, part of the reason why the OKC line was 17 points, which is obviously really, really high, it's not just because of the talent disparity, but it's also because of the fact that, you know what, I think they were baking in the fact that OKC's second unit would come in and do a number on the Raptors' second unit. And honestly, that didn't happen. That really didn't happen like that. Like, I thought the Raptors did a really good job with their second unit of coming in and bringing some pressure and sustaining, you know, their structure and sustaining a style of play. I think that really starts with Jontay Porter, who really brought a lot of organization to the second group. I mean, only took, what, three shots tonight, one of two from three, but obviously both were really open looks. Got to the foul line for a pair. I mean, that was just because he was in the bonus, whatever. But he had eight assists against three turnovers, and I thought he actually did a better job of Kelly distributing from that high post area. And, you know, I thought Kelly was throwing some more higher risk passes, which obviously can sometimes result in the six turnovers or seven turnovers that he had. But I thought, yeah, for the most part, Jontay did a really good job of just diming up his teammates and his ability to space out as a five while also distribute a look over the defense. Like, that's a lot of what the Raptors really wanted to work on today. And they did a good job of that. And then on top of that, and this is a name that we haven't been able to say all season outside of his appearances on the Raptors show, but Garrett Temple actually got into the game. Now, he was actually the last guy in the rotation to get into the game. Everybody was in the rotation tonight except for Mamadou Gay, who only came in at the very end there. So we're just going to take his time out of this. But Garrett Temple was the last guy to come into the rotation, and once he started getting in, Darko found less and less reasons to take him out. Garrett Temple with, right away, first play he was in, found himself switched on to Shea, which is obviously not an easy assignment by any means when you're facing down the MVP or one of the MVP candidates, and he ultimately ended up ripping him, like, in just off the dribble. Like, yeah, and we know how careful and how, you know, structured that Shea is. That's not easy to do, to just rip Shea. But he did that. Then he knocked down his first three, and he knocked down another three later on in the second half as well. Got himself to the foul line, made both. Just played a really good game, was in the right positions to help, you know, got a strip on the perimeter as well for his other steal. I just thought Garrett came in and showed you exactly what you would want to see in terms of, okay, we've seen Garrett obviously lead by his voice, right? That's so much of the team is just, you know, him, you know, getting guys into position, being that coach that's actually in uniform. But also, as we talked about earlier today on the show, which, by the way, Garrett did come on the program today too, and we chatted with him. But a lot of what we chatted about was this sort of very concept of, you know, him being in the position that a lot of these young guys are in now. You don't think Garrett Temple's been in these situations where, you know, it's a blowout and, you know, you're a, 11th guy or 12th guy and, you know, you got an unguaranteed contract or you're on a 10-day or whatever. I mean, he's entered the league so long ago, there were no two ways. But, you know what I mean? Like, just having to make the roster. And, when your time is called, you got to be ready. And I think Garrett showed you exactly what that was. And that's not to make, like, so much of the fact that a guy had 8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Like, but at the same time, it's exactly what he was talking about. And he comes in and illustrates it. So I thought the second unit also provided good structure. And, you know, for the Raptors, they led after the first quarter 35-28. OKC did make a comeback. Raptors got a little sloppy. OKC obviously was able to really go on some runs. I thought Darko, for the most part, called really good timeouts to slow the momentum of OKC because there were a lot of moments where the Raptors were, like, starting to let go of the rope. And you saw Darko's focus tonight with the timeouts was just whenever the Raptors were surrender, like, three baskets in a row or they were making some bad plays, he was instantly nipping that in the butt. I mean, obviously, that's probably, ideally, a general strategy you use timeouts, not just for today, but, like, you know, he did a really good job of just, like, cutting it off, and the Raptors coming out and for the most part executing. There was one stretch where the Raptors called timeout, and this was kind of like a safety timeout. This is in the fourth quarter where I think it was a closer game. But then the Raptors came out with back-to-back turnovers. That was tough. But ultimately, you know, you saw him come out with some pretty good plays. You saw him come out and get Grady a three. You saw him come out and you know, make sure the ball gets into the post and the Raptors split off each other. One guy comes up to receive the ball. One guy goes back door to cut for a layup, which was like the majority of the game. And yeah, you know, for the most part, again, the team played well. You totally understand that they're unequipped to play OKC, especially with the current you know, talent available. The last time the Raptors actually had like most of their starters in, and by the way, all five players who would be starters for the Raptors were all out tonight. Gary Trent Jr. being the latest because he had a back spasm. Did see Gary Sr. and you know, the other Gary sons in attendance, which is great. But like, you know, Gary wasn't able to play, unfortunately. So you literally had no starters. But the last time the Raptors actually did have starters, they actually did a really good job. And of course, that actually led to that double overtime game where unfortunately they lost to OKC, but they competed against them really well. The big key in that one was just how much the Raptors were able to, at least before the fourth quarter, really limit Shea and force him into a playmaker and cut him off. And they were doing that largely with double teams. And tonight they threw some double teams at Shea too, there's no doubt. But ultimately speaking, I thought the Raptors actually did a much better job of guarding Shea, even with less help around them. And again, I think that, you know, that's a credit to Ochai. I think that, you know, these are the type of games where, okay, maybe he's not going to pop off and give you 30 or something like that. We know that that's not his offensive skill set, and it probably never will be. But at the same time, what you did see was, you know, him coming in and this version of, his version of a 20-point game is to really, you know, come in and do a great job on Shea. And you saw that the Raptors did a great job there. I think the Raptors also attacked Shea quite a bit offensively, especially in the first half. You saw a big point of emphasis early in the game was just getting Kelly switched onto Shea and then feeding Kelly in the post. And you know, him catching the ball and twisting and turning in the post and drawing fouls. Shea did have four fouls in this game, and including two early in the game, and that was both, I think, drawn by Kelly as well. So there was that kind of idea to it. And you know, Kelly did have a, you know, really good night. I mean, it's actually very similar to Jakob. I don't know, not a lot of people remember the last game against OKC, but Jakob played really well in that one and scored really well. And I think that it's just the weakness that OKC does have is that, you know, you can use your size effectively. I mean, most games you can't get that many points off of Kelly Olynyk Duckins. You can give him the ball, but, like, you know, most teams have enough size to sort of deter him. I thought the Raptors did a really good job of identifying the fact that OKC doesn't have that type of size in the middle, especially if they're going to occupy Chet elsewhere. And, you know, I thought Kelly was able to profit and score, and that's why he was actually much better with his scoring, 16 points on 7-on-9 shooting with a three as well, than he was with his passing, which is typically his best attribute. But tonight, 5 assists against 7 turnovers, so just better judgment needed there. Yeah, you know, it just made sense. The whole thing, I guess, made sense tonight, and they executed well enough. They competed well enough. Again, I can't say enough about what Grady did. Grady leading the offense for the first quarter, that was the reason why the Raptors were up, but you know, him finding his rhythm again, we've seen him go cold, which, whatever. It's been kind of that kind of start-stop. And honestly, by nature of his game, when he's shooting so many threes too, like, there are obviously going to be some nights where it's not going and you're going to have some pretty empty ones. But, you know, you also saw Grady come in with a poster dunk off a cut, which was really nice. You saw him do a little bit of playmaking as well, but also his back screens. You know, I just think that he did an admirable job. And him leading the team in scoring 21 points on a night where, again, like, OKC, I don't know. I mean, would I say they were 100% locked in? I don't think so. I think that they needed to grow into the game, and they're good enough, obviously, and they're deep enough, obviously, to eventually settle in. And they had, obviously, multiple contributors. You know, Chet was kind of undeniable around the basket, just way too long for all the Raptors, 18 and 10 in 27 minutes. Jalen Williams is just one of the smoothest athletes I can really remember seeing. He doesn't necessarily like need to go full throttle and pop with like jumping to his max vertical, like, you know, Anthony Edwards style, for example. Not to say that that's bad, obviously that's incredible. But what you see is like he's so quick and he is so strong too, and he moves so fluidly. It doesn't even feel like he does it so effortlessly. It doesn't really look like he's shifting into another gear. He's not like going from 0 to 60, like, you know, like a guard, I suppose, but at the same time he is that type of big guard, but with some strength. It's like I don't know, man, he's special. And not only that, but he's got the mid-range pull-up as well, and he can go to the basket and sustain through some contact. Pretty good defense as well. 3 steals, 2 blocks. You know, was quite disruptive on defense. So he was also contributing. You know, Josh Giddey wasn't doing much, so they took him out. They had Gordon Hayward, who was even doing even less. So that was weird. I mean, it's just weird seeing Gordon Hayward being so hesitant on offense. There was times where, like, the ball would they would give him the ball, and he's got Bruce Brown on him. And he would, before even making a move, he would just give it up. Like, come on. Like, you I know a more confident version of Gordon Hayward would have, like, loved that matchup. But he didn't really seem to want to do anything. He finally knocked down a corner three, but, like, ultimately he wasn't really doing much outside of, like, grabbing a couple of rebounds. And we know that that's not what they got him for his rebounding. They need him for his all-around playmaking. He wasn't doing much. And really, I think after second unit, it was Kenrich Williams, who in the fourth quarter did a really good job of just cutting, moving, you know, creating a couple of deflections. 12 points, 4 steals, 2 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 offensive. Just his energy and his hustle, 5 of 7 from the field as well. Super efficient, just like that, you know, nice little role player, nice little glue guy who can come in and, you know, be disruptive, but also really put some pressure defensively and, you know, do the responsible thing offensively. And he just came in and gave OKC that little bit of an edge because, you know what, they're, again, when you're at their position and this late in the season, like, you can obviously overlook an opponent. I don't even know how teams would even come up with this scouting report against the Raptors right now, considering most of these guys you haven't even seen play, like, 10 games in the like 10, 15 games in a full-time capacity this season. But at the same time, like, you know, you still, if you're going to try to continue to stay atop the West, and obviously the OKC needs to do that as they embark on this Eastern Conference road trip, you need wins like this. You can't let it slip. So for a young team, actually, they did show the maturity to be able to get serious when they needed to. So, yeah, it was just a good effort, though, all around. And, you know, I think in terms of what the Raptors can do going forward, well, number one, they got to get bodies back, right? And I do think that eventually we'll see that. Like, it's not going to be like this the rest of the season. There is still, like, 3 more weeks. And, you know, yes, there are obviously some absences, you know, like Jakob, who, you know, you didn't even see here at the game, or like Scotty, who would you did see at the game, and he was on the bench talking quite a bit, trying to, like, organize a group and all that kind of stuff. You know, Gary obviously is kind of a game-to-game situation, so he probably will be back. And you know, you hope that quickly is able to return. You know, you're not really sure with RJ. Again, take all the time you need. But, you know, in the meantime, what you do want to see is, like, not to say that there's a right way to lose, again, but, like, you do want to see, like, an actual identity, an actual plan, an actual attempt to really organize that plan. And, of course, it's probably not going to be enough to change the result, but at least it wasn't a blowout. At least they didn't give up on so many transition plays like they did in the Kings game. At least it didn't look like, you know, the other team was just, like, playing around with their food when they play against you. Like, this game, they actually did try to execute and give OKC just a, not problems, but enough to think about. And they did take the lead at multiple points, which, this is where we're at with the group, but, you know, they at least, I wouldn't say mission accomplished, but, yeah, they made it watchable tonight, which should be the goal, even with this group. And I think, look, for this group, you know, you got to see an extended look at certain guys. I think Jonte, for me, I've said it all along, but I think he's a keeper. I think as a third string big, he's going to do well for you. Of course, he's a little undersized. Of course, you would like to see a little bit more scoring pop with him, but realistically, he's in the right places defensively. He's had a couple of really good rotations tonight. 2 assists, a block. He's been in the right spots defensively, and then he could pass like that. I think he fits the system, and also I just think that you know, he's been a fine for the Raptors. It's mostly been a question with him is just, what's his health going to be at? And it seems like he's been able to hold up. So good for him. I know he missed the last game. Well, he left the last game with the flu. So it looks like he's recovered. So that's nice. I think you're also getting an extended look at guys like Javon Freeman-Liberty and also Jamias Ramsey. And weirdly enough, I feel like they're kind of competing for the same spot. I think for Javon, this is probably his best game since being called up. Maybe that Pelicans game at home where he had like 12 points. But, like, realistically, that was in a 40-point game. Like, in this one, he did a good job of just cutting and getting to the right spots. He did, you know, flub a couple finishes, which obviously is not ideal. But at the same time, you know, I think that he was in the right spots, like I said. Defensively, I felt like Shea's eyes really lit up when he saw him. I mean, Shea wasn't really afraid to attack anybody, but I think he really saw an opportunity to attack Javon. You want to see him be stronger defensively. Not to say that you need to, you know, see him shut down Shea or something, But still, like, you need to see him not be, like, bad defensively, which I thought he was in this one. In any case, though, him cutting and him hitting a couple of the floaters was really good for him. I mean, his impact will be with the scoring, and so, you know, he needs to put the ball in the hole, and he did that a couple times tonight. With Jamyres, I think it's mostly on defense. Now, I think the weirdest thing for the Raptors tonight was when you look through the film, like, every new guy, when they checked into the game off the second unit, they all came in and made one mistake. And it was just kind of like, you know, like, for example, Ramsey. First play, he came into the game and he immediately fouled a three-point shooter. Like, it, stuff like that was like, ah, you know, you just didn't, you would have just hoped to have seen something a little bit stronger. Or, like, first play, Bruce and Jonte get confused on coverage. None of them pick up on a switch and they give up a wide-open three to their opponent. Like, stuff like that, you know. Yeah, like, first place for Jonte, and he throws a bad pass, leading to an OKC bucket. You know, Darko has to call a timeout. You know, Javon smoked a layup. You know what I mean? Like, little things like that. It's like, ah, you just wish they were a little bit stronger. You know, Jordan Wara, I thought it was a disappointing game for him. He, you know, even though he finished with 12 points, didn't really make an impact offensively. He had a bad turnover when he first started, and then he jumped on a Shea pump fake and gave him free throws. So, stuff like that, it just wasn't great. But ultimately, I think with Jamyres, a lot of it's going to come down to three-point shooting, let's be honest. Like, he's going to have a couple of drives and a couple of cuts, and that's just, like, standard for the whole offense based on how they play. He's not creating much for himself off the dribble, and he's not being expected to. He's not really even being expected to create off for teammates. You want to see his energy defensively, and I think he showed his energy. If anything else, it's always moments of overaggression with him, but I don't even mind that so much because it's not like he's not reading it. I think he's just so eager to contribute and give his energy defensively that that's his way to contribute. And if those are mistakes of, like, coming from a place of wanting to contribute and wanting to bring something and overdoing it as a result of that, like, I prefer that way more than, like, whatever McDaniels comes in to do, which is a bunch of nothing. So I just feel like, yeah, I mean, Jamyres is starting to grow on me for sure. It's the three-point shooting, though. Even watching the warm-ups for him, like, he has this thing where when he's shooting, he kind of, like, shoots across his body. So it's not really on a line. So, you know, he's kind of like letting the ball kind of swing across his face as he's bringing the ball up to shoot. And I think it does create to some of these, like, inconsistencies, right? You have seen some of these, like, shots where, like, they've been air balls or they've been really off to the side. They're not really online. And, you know, I think, look, the way he shoots is the way he shoots. He was efficient shooting at the G League level. But even just watching the warmups, like, there is just that, like, okay, there probably needs to be a fix, or at least there needs to be a consistency, because the more he's going across his body like that, the more it's not just like the regular accuracy that you need to account for, but you're also kind of like shooting a moving target rather than shooting at a set target when you're kind of just going up and down. So I think that, you know, whatever they can do to help with that, you know, and I'm not expecting that to be an overnight fix, but again, like, if we're trying to evaluate these guys, like, if he can add that three to even a decent level, I think that there's something there for him, because the defense and even the burst going to the basket, I think, is strong. So, you know, that, again, I'm really happy with what Garrett Temple did. I think with Wara, I think he just needs to come in and really be a lot more locked in defensively. There's just too many plays there where it's just, you know, it's too nonchalant for him. A couple turnovers that were also pretty nonchalant. Ultimately, 12 points, like, on 6 of 10 shooting is good. We got a couple of those late, but regardless, he obviously has an offensive skill set. But, you know, that doesn't matter as much when, like, for example, I think for him, like, when you see Gary out, you should probably look at it like, okay, well, I should probably be next in line to go in the starting lineup, especially given the talent available. But he wasn't. You know what I mean? And he wasn't even the first sub off the bench either. And he didn't play, like, the most minutes off the bench either. Honestly, his seniority in the league, based on, at least compared to the other guys, like, probably should get him in a little bit earlier. But what's holding him back is the defense and a couple other things. But most importantly, the defense. And if you could just get to just being okay on that end, not actively bad, then it's a start. And I think, you know, he's going to be able to on the floor more to at least contribute what he does offensively, which is when you put him in a position to score or even in a slight advantage to score, he can get to the basket or he can knock down a three. He's over 3 from 3 today, but ultimately he's a good shooter. So, you know, those are the kind of takeaways. And again, like, it's not that different losing by 20 versus, like, the other game where they lost by 30-something, but, like, the difference is they kept it competitive for most of the night, and so you're able to at least see kind of, like, what the ideas are and how they want to play and what works and what doesn't work. And, yeah, at least we learned something tonight. So before I go to the three stars, a message from our sponsor. Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Raptors Wizards. I'm fired up for that one. Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level. See if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Okay, your three stars from this performance. First star is going to go to Grady. 21 points, 5 rebounds, and assist, a steal. I just love seeing the Raptors run so many actions for him. You saw him, for example, come off of a set of staggered screens on one side of the floor to get himself open. I thought he used his movement really well. I thought he screened really well to get other guys open as well. But ultimately, he was able to hit the threes. He was able to cut to the basket. You know, finish with force. I mean, he had a two-handed dunk, which is pretty nice, honestly. So yeah, he just did a great job. And a couple turnovers, kind of just like the ball slipped out of his hands. Execution-wise, you obviously understand that, especially with how aggressive the Raptors are looking to pass, there are going to be some moments where a team like the Raptors, who aren't that familiar with one another, are going to not connect on these bang-bang plays. But generally speaking, Grady was really good. Your second star, I'm going to give that to Jontay Porter. I really liked the way he conducted the offense, which you rarely would say for a big, but 7 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, a block, 2 of 3 from the field, knocked down a 3, 2 of 2 from the foul line, had 3 turnovers, which is basically everybody on the team. But, I thought he did a great job. And you continue to enjoy watching the time where Jontay gets into the game and able to just play his game. I think it just kind of fits perfectly with the style. So hopefully, again, that he is on the roster next year as the third big. And then your third star, honestly, I think Ochai probably deserves this, but I'm going to be sentimental. I'm going to give it to Garrett. What a pro. Seriously, what a pro, right? I mean, he's the fifth oldest player in the NBA. He gets his number called, and he's immediately ready. He literally immediately strips Shea and knocks down a 3. What more do you want? And I'm not saying that this is what he has every single game. Obviously, that we're in a position where, you know, the Raptors are so shorthanded that we're going to have to go to some of these options. But credit to Garrett for just literally staying ready. I mean, you know, comes in, and we even joked about it on the show today. The fact that I even had to ask him, hey, are you going to play tonight? That shows you the fact that, it has been a strange thing where he's not even strange, but he's just been kind of like an afterthought. And a lot of people kind of think of him as almost another assistant coach. But he comes in the game and he shows them exactly how it's done. If other players who are much younger than Garrett follow the exact template of what he did today, you can easily earn yourself another contract and more contracts and eventually get to the point where, maybe not as much seniority as Garrett is, being 37 and still in the league, but he's doing a great job. And he's also a great interview. So shouts to Garrett Temple. You're getting the third star today. 8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Call it Raptors show favoritism. I don't care. He came in and did a good job. Your Jared Henderson Award winner, I already said it, Kenrich Williams, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals off that OKC bench. Just came in and gave them a little bit of sharpness, a little bit of a spark that they didn't really get. There wasn't really that much intensity with the rest of the team. So for him to come in off the bench and just raise that intensity, it's kind of ideal what you want from a backup guy. Raptors lose. They play again tomorrow. That game will be against the worst team in the league, in the Wizards. Raptors, honestly, in their current form, have a shot at also essentially being that title. But unfortunately, we will have to see how those two teams match up. And, if the Raptors play the way they did tonight, I think they actually will get a win tomorrow. You also don't know which Raptors team will show up, right? Because on Wednesday, we also saw a really poor effort. So I think for the Raptors, I just hope that they continue to play with purpose, even though they're losing. And that's hard to do, but that's their task right now. So thanks for listening. Please continue to rate, review, subscribe to the Raptors show. And yeah, you've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. Time to get fired up. Have a good night, everyone.